Good afternoon, everybody. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you have tuned into Radiance by Design. And here, it has to be by design. We have to pump up our radiance here because we're up here in the Pacific Northwest. A lot of you in the East and the Northeast have experienced a terrific amount of snow, which we have as well. We've been kept in, held down, so to speak, kept out of the normal commerce hysteria of this time of year. Isn't that interesting? Learning to be in the now, learning to be home and peaceful, learning to be conscious about what we're doing. I wanted to talk again. I would like to talk with you today, and hopefully you're going to call in. I'd like to follow up some more about consciousness. And the reason for that is a good reason, which is that my paradigm shifter today is Robert Friedman. Robert Friedman co-wrote a book with Eckhart Tolle, and it's all about teaching children. It's called Milton's Secret. It's about teaching children the power of now. It's a great little book where when Milton has a crisis at school and he meets the school bully and he gets beaten up and he becomes terrified and he has nightmares and all the stuff that we've all experienced, well illustrated, too, by the fellow who illustrated Neil Donald Walsh's book. But in any case, it's really a typical example of how we all get, what would we say, neurotic. We create, invest in patterns of self-fear that become obvious in different situations as we get older. But with this fellow Milton, who I think is somewhere between 4 and 8, he must be about 6 or 7, actually. His grandfather, when Milton is freaked out, terrified he's going to meet the class bully one more time and have who knows what beaten out of him, his grandfather teaches him to go into the now. And then he also has an amazing dream which shows him the wonderful qualities of light that come up in yourself when you drop into the now and really feel it. So it's a really, really loving and wonderful book. And we're going to talk about it at 5 o'clock today, mostly because a lot of us have been talking about consciousness and how can we teach our little ones, or how can we make it a part of their entertainment to incorporate the values of becoming conscious in life. And it's a really excellent book for that called Milton's Secret, and it's also fueling my continued conversation with you about various ways of holding consciousness or various ways of what igniting consciousness, releasing ourselves into being more conscious. We've been talking about that for a few weeks. So I had a lot of fun with preparing for this conversation with Robert Friedman, because then I went online and I found a whole bunch of YouTubes of Eckhart Tolle talking about his process, which is really interesting. It's to be conscious. He talks about something which is very similar to what my guides teach, which is if you're, one thing he was talking about was if you're meditating and you find your brain is really, really busy, and it's going all over the place, then you sit there and you say, oh, that's okay. My brain is all over the place, and you make peace with your brain or your mind. You go, oh, I have a very agitated mind. Oh, look at it. I have a very agitated mind. My mind today is very agitated. Okay, so it can be agitated. And whatever's going on in your now moment, he says, you stop and you let yourself have that, and you acknowledge that. And then he says something that always happens in my work. It doesn't always happen because we don't do it quite the same as him, but my guides always teach that if you focus on the situation and then exaggerate it and then release it, you get a great deal more energy coming through. Eckhart Tolle was saying if you accept, if you see and define and accept what's going on, then you'll get a tremendous amount of expansive energy coming through your body-mind. And that's the stuff we use to really evolve, to enjoy who we are and to create the world we want and learn to love others and not get all kinds of stuck in the collective consciousness. So we're going to talk a lot about consciousness today. We're going to talk about, this is a great time of year to talk about consciousness, isn't it? We're going to talk to you and about various parts of your life and how you're maybe stuck, how you're releasing, how you're expanding. Last week we had some wonderful callers talking about steps that they were making in their life to release themselves from the mindless traps of old programs So if you want to come call in and talk about your life and talk about what you're working on, and we'll work with you, the guides and angels, and we'll help you release where you're stuck. Because very often what we can see is what your soul journey is all about. I'm not sure if it was Eckhart Tolle, because I've been wandering through the subject of consciousness, going through a lot of different amazing teachers, always looking for the golden thread that connects them all. Because if they're right, there has to be a commonality amongst them all, doesn't there? It's not this truth or that truth. So now I've lost track of what I was saying. What I'm saying is that we're going to have you call in, and we're going to do a meditation, which is creating and designing your reality in these vibrational structures, and learning what these vibrational structures can do to you and your expansion, as Eckhart Tolle calls it, the expansion of your consciousness. One other thing is, when I was driving in the car today, I put on an Abraham CD, which I love to do. And the first thing I heard, and this is a CD I've heard for a while, but you know, if you wait a while, certain parts of these teachings emphasize themselves. They sort of pop up for you to pay attention to. Anyway, this part that I noticed and I chuckled said that wherever you're uncomfortable physically, wherever you're having health issues or money issues or, you know, things that are preventing you from being all you can and being free to be all you can be, wherever you're having that, then your issue is, ta-da, resistance. And wherever there's resistance, we have discomfort. We have tension. Anyway, it's really interesting, because it reminded me, and I think I've talked about this on the show before, it just reminded me about how often when we go inside and ask, we find out that we are in resistance about something. And resistance usually implies that I think that there might be like, for example, you're going to the store, the resistance might mean that you think you're not going to get your stuff done on time, you're not going to get the deal that you thought, you're not going to please people, whatever. There's always a not-gonna something that's threatening you in there, and that creates a deep resistance, which creates a problem in your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual self. So, and the thought I was trying to express a while ago that I forgot was that one of the things we're learning at this time in history, where humanity is literally changing, is that we have the potential to be connected to all aspects of our existence consciously. Going back to the word conscious, we have the potential to, instead of, say, in resistance where we're driving ourselves, we're in charge, we're worried about all the things that could go wrong, we're trying to be responsible, correct ourselves, instead of all that, is releasing all of that resistant and tense energy and connecting to your higher, connecting to your deep inner light and calling in the higher and becoming embodied in a, I guess I'd say, multidimensional way. And I don't mean flipping out of your body all the time. That isn't really necessary for this. But it's connecting to your higher consciousness, your higher self, and all the aspects of intelligence and I guess awareness that you have at any given time. So what I keep running across as I tour through these various teachers is that that is one of the big awakenings that's rippling through human consciousness at this time, that we're better off to be vertically connected rather than horizontally. Changes the face of politics, doesn't it? All right, so let's start off with our vibrational structures. I love these. They usually enhance my energy, they strengthen me, and they're a great place. It's a little research lab that you could create to go in and experience various blocks in yourself and redefine where you're headed. And remember, one of the things, whether you're talking Abraham or Eckhart Tolle or my guides and angels, or let's list them, Aravinda, various people that we've interviewed on Paradigm Shifters, it's always the same. It's always that you're learning to empower yourself, you're learning to take charge, and you're learning to allow your creations to come through the power and the inner light of your beingness. That's what we're learning to do. And it's always a feeling thing rather than just a thinking thing. So if we're creating visions in our structure, you want to feel whatever it is you're creating. You want to feel it as if you're the star in it, and you can actually experience it vibrationally. I think it's Abraham that says that what we're offering vibrationally is what we magnetize and what we create. So learning to offer vibrationally, consciously, is a really big job. And doing the structures is one way to go in and really practice, and just creating these vibrational shapes around you absolutely enhances and empowers all the thoughts and feelings that you're working with consciously. So are you ready after that huge long preamble? Let's close our eyes, unless you're driving or walking or even running. And let's call in a connection to the galactic center way out there. You and I have been touring the universe for some millions of years, haven't we? And from the galactic center of your choice, draw a crystalline tube in through the top of your head, down your spine, and into the core of the earth. And now above your head, perhaps 2 to 4 miles, a golden ball. Create a golden ball, and it's a magnificent golden ball with a lot of different metallics in it, I think, because it seems to me to be white like platinum and gold like gold, yellow like gold. What does yours look like? And then below your spine, about 40 feet, the same thing. And now drop a absolutely radiant filament of light from the upper golden ball through your spine, through the other crystal tube, all the way down into the lower golden ball. And now around your body, perhaps 8 feet in radius from your body, a series of these golden balls, like a big hula hoop, really floppy little hula hoop with balls all around it. And now from the upper golden ball to your circle of golden balls, drop a myriad of pink radiant filaments. Oh my, they're very, very bright. I feel kind of a soft buzz from them when I drop them. So I have a canopy pointing up, and now we do the same thing. Drop a number of filaments of light from the circle of balls to the lower ball. So you have a filament point, or a canopy pointing down, up and down. And we're in this beautiful, soft structure. How does it feel? And now you create a crystal ball. The outside edges of it touch the inside edges of your structure. I seem to be floating in it today. How do you feel in your crystal ball? And inside of that, well, let's create a star tetrahedron, which looks a lot like a Star of David. It's a lot like the Merkaba. I'll let you stylize your own and be in this star tetrahedron shape inside the crystal ball. And now have yourself spin and spin and spin and spin and spin it. And quite often you'll get dizzy. And as you're spinning and spinning, that's a good sign. It means you're really getting into the energy. And then across from you, right in front of your eyes, see yourself, you create for yourself a magical screen. And on the screen, we're going to take a few minutes and place the envisionments that we've chosen. First one is about you. I always see myself as becoming more and more multidimensional. That's my vision. Yeah. And you see and feel and experience it. And the second one is something that you want to do or create or design. It could be anything from, it could be anything you want. It could be writing a book, it could be a romance you want to create, a home and family, a great new job, making a movie. Just see yourself able to carry it out, seeing all the helpers come to you. feel the enjoyment of following your life's dreams and passion. And now the third one. I often call this the Galactic Healing Center in my little healing groups. That's what we've been calling it because we like to do that. Now, in this one, we're going to ask your higher self, your guides and angels, and anyone else that's working with you for the higher good in the name of Mother, Father, God, to show up and come on into your galactic healing room in which there is maybe a healing table or perhaps a healing chair. Whatever you want. It can be a healing footstool, although it's maybe not so comfortable. And now the who's come in. Take a look. It's different for everybody, I've discovered. And now there's something about you that you want to have healed. So see yourself lying on the table or sitting in the chair. Yeah, and as you're lying there or sitting there, ask these beings to do some healing work for you. And what do you feel and what do you see? Some good intuitives never see a thing, so don't give yourself hard marks if you don't see. What do you feel and experience as you're in this healing room? Mm-hmm. And what's going on around you? What does the healing look like? Maybe you feel kind of a dropping off of resistances, blocks to your consciousness. Yeah. Maybe you've got some real injuries or wounds or illnesses. Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now ask them to continue with that. This is a magical screen, so we can do whatever we want. And let's bring in somebody that you know, you care about, or it can be somebody who's a stranger, it doesn't matter. Bring them in and have them put on the table or the chair. Okay. And ask your healing team to work on them and what will they be doing? Let's just see. Now remember that the power of the observer is a very, very potent power. So as you're watching this, it's also extremely powerful on your part. Now let's do one more. Ask them to continue, please, that this person needs to be have the healing prolonged a bit. And so we'll ask them to continue working on it. Remember, there's no time and space, so we can leave that in that concurrent reality. Bring someone else in. It's interesting to me who pops up in my image when I ask for someone who needs healing. And watch the team and see what it is they do for that person. We'll do one last one. Four is a foundational number, isn't it? Okay. And we'll do one last one. I'm having some very interesting visuals that come up when I'm seeing them healing. Good work. And now we're going to ask that they continue that, thank them very much, and we'll close that galactic healing room, but on your own you can ask that to go on for quite a long time. You can sit in meditation for a long time, as you know. And let's finish this little exercise with some political, perhaps some financial or economic political imagery. You can choose whatever you want, but I'll just leave this one anyway. Let's see that the world economic situation is healed. It becomes more and more conscious and in its ability to work for all people, and that we learn how to add to it and use it and become a part of creating it rather than it be just for those few who manage to gather up the most marbles. Let's just send prayers and light to that. The industries in this country really get to be moving with health and cooperation of so many people who find good jobs, stability, creativity, security, sharing. And then let's send a pink light of harmony out throughout the whole world. We started off, it starts in your heart, and let's just send it out in this wild, wild, radiant tube. Send it to places that you know there's a lot of suffering right now, whether it's torture, subterfuge, sickness. Send it to the parts of the world that you're really conscious of needing support, help, and love, and the evening out of the right to live on this planet. And as this pink light floods these various troubled places, increase it. Just seem to increase it and have it flood the entire globe, loving, nurturing, and harmonizing with Mother Earth. And those extraterrestrial beings that we keep hearing about who are hovering around the planet, see this amazing, and feel this amazing harmony potential that's rising on our planet. So let's come back into our center. Have the star tetrahedron spin one more time. Whoosh, whoosh. And now we'll step back into the room. Did you like that? Do you have lots to report? I'd love it if you'd report. I have some phone numbers for you. Are you ready? From the U.S., 877. I'd like you to call in. I really enjoy it when you call in and we get to talk. 877-876-5227. If you're in Canada, 888-810-8322. And anywhere else in the universe, you have to get into the direct line, 530-876-3222. So that's from the U.S., Canada, or anywhere else in the world, I sure hope to hear from you. Now, it's the season to be jolly, and sometimes to be jolly, we have to be really conscious because there's this incredible pressure which sort of sweeps us up at this time of year. I've noticed with all the snow, a lot of us have been stormed out just before Christmas. And the nice thing about that is that you couldn't do all the shopping. We couldn't do racing around and getting silly about the shopping. And I don't know how many people I've talked to have said, you know, we're finally making it. We're getting together. My stepdaughter had a terrible time getting here from L.A., but she finally made it. But we're finally getting together. So everybody's saying things like, once we're together, we don't need to worry about all the rest of it. We just need to appreciate each other. And I believe that that's happening out there on the planet right now. There's a lot of reevaluation going on, especially with the latest economic debacle that we've all heard about. Let's go back into... I want to say something about my suggestion a couple of weeks ago about Adrienne Devere's book, Healing Entities and Aliens. Oh, the book's actually called X3. Healing Entities and Aliens. I absolutely have not finished that book because what I kept doing is rereading certain sections. But one of the things that he does with that book is he channels information and then he turns it into his healing style and his healing capacity. Now, what I really liked about it is that his words, his way of explaining things, how can I put this? When it evokes a consciousness in me, I really like it. So a woman whom I very much admire, I have a great deal of respect for her, emailed me and said, you know what, I don't really think much of that book. And then if you track down Devere's reputation, there's a lot of doubt about him. I had to think about that for a while. And I work with Jackie Salvitti on Thursday nights, and Adrienne Devere is one of her major teachers. So she and I had a talk about that, and she said, indeed, it's true that with Adrienne's channeling, and Adrienne died as well, which is another thing that shocked everybody, apparently, and shocked him as well. He died quite young. But it's really interesting, because then we all go, well, am I being duped? Is this another one of these spiritual leaders who has no, you know, I've been duped by following him and by reading the book. But, you know, it's, for me, it isn't. It's something that came up for me when I was answering the email with my friend and talking to Jackie about it, is that his work, there's a lot in that book that literally stimulated an awakening. It activated me. It made me see, for example, explanations of some of the work. In the healing work I do, or I don't do it, the guides do, the energy and healing work that I learned from my own guides, not from classes and so on that were external, but from internal, is very similar to Adrienne Devere's, only his went a lot farther. So, for example, his work uses the healing team sort of thing. And I personally stayed out of the way of asking for that. But since I read the book, I've asked for more firm presentation of my healing support than I ever had before. And I see an actual circle of beings, and I see various tools that they use, and I let myself do that, which I had not. I always stopped. I didn't want to demand that I could see it. I didn't trust when people named or boasted about the amazing beings that were there. That's just me talking about my cynicism, you know. But in any case, his book, and I'm, the reason I'm talking about this is sometimes you read things and you go, I don't know what to believe. I do not know what to believe. But I believe, like if you go back into the power of now and all these other things, I believe that the consciousness that rises because of these influences tells us what to believe. So, for example, as I work with individuals who need healing, and I amp up my work because of what I've read in Adrienne Devere's book, and when people get really powerful results, and the feedback I get is that they do, I feel strongly that something about this book resonates on a high level. Goody that you called. I'm eager to talk to you. I'll just finish this thought. I feel confident when I read a book and I can use the material with my own guides and angels, because you know what? I can throw out where, well, that's furthering the discussion, but I can throw out the things that are maybe a product of someone's ego or some distortions. Now what I mean, it's really interesting stuff. So now we have a caller and she's interesting too, or he. Welcome, you're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi there.
My name is Rod, and I'm from Western Canada.
Oh, great. Well, I used to be from Vancouver.
Oh, cool. I'm up in Saskatchewan, where it's very cold at the moment.
Oh, you're from Saskatchewan?
Yes.
Okay. Where are you in Saskatchewan?
Saskatoon.
Oh, great. Oh, it's supposed to be a beautiful city. I've never actually been there.
Yeah, outside of the cold, it's no other place on Earth that I'd rather live. Right now I'm questioning my sanity of why I live here, but it's a great city. It's a great city.
You got to keep that long underwear in your drawer there.
Oh, yes.
Well, thanks for your call, Rod. Do you have a question for us?
Yes. Specifically, I'm 8 months separated from my wife. I have two children. And I'm really enjoying the freedom and the freeing of the energy that resulted from the separation. But now I'm starting to wonder, well, you know, I'm thinking about dating, but mm-hmm. then again, I'm kind of being pulled towards where I'm feeling good about where I am right now. And I just wanted to get some insight on whether this is something, you know, that's cultural, that I should be, that I'm dwelling too much into my mind about wanting to date, wanting to get back into some sort of relationship, not what I had, but or is it something that, that I need for balance?
Because how old are you, Rod?
43.
Oh, you're just a young guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is looking at your soul journey, and it's very interesting because on a certain level, it's as if you're coming out of yourself. There's something in you that's growing open and awake and becoming much more conscious since you broke up your relationship. And mm-hmm. I think maybe, was it your idea to break up? Because it looks like that's what happened, that you needed to break open inside. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
The guides are saying this, that you are going to be in a wonderful relationship in a while, but you're not quite done. It's like when you come out of a relationship, you change a lot. You even change your biochemistry, and your ex is also doing that. And that there's a change that's not quite ready yet. You're not quite ready. But the yearning that you have, because you do have a yearning for a connection, is going to meet with somebody. I'm not good at time, and I think part of that is because it's about process. A lot of us aren't good at time. But it looks like you're going to go through a completion with one of your children, and then you're going to be more attuned to who you really are, and then you meet this next person, and she's very significant. I don't think you'll just date. I think you'll get involved. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. So that could be some... It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen quickly. This is obvious because on certain levels, I feel that I still have some discovering about myself and healing from my prior relationship. But then, like you said, there's this yearning, and I'm wondering where that comes from.
I think it comes from your soul journey because the next relationship coming up is someone that you're supposed to meet. It's very, very powerful, and you're kind of getting ready. You have some. How old are your children? Because one of your children has a huge activated force on you. Do you know that?
I have two children, a 16-year-old girl and a 12-year-old boy. And I would think it would probably be my son, the 12-year-old mm-hmm. boy.
It seems like you're growing into who you really are, and there's something about this child that's going to put you through something over the next little while, and you will awaken to a much greater power of self. It's hard to explain. It's just that the self, you can't share what you don't have if you know your chakras. Your second chakra is cluttered with all kinds of influences. And as you go through these changes, you're going to awaken in the second chakra. You'll be more your real self. And this boy has some effect on you in the next couple of weeks even, which makes you wake up, ask yourself some questions, and go through another level of awakening to self, and then it's easier for you to date. The yearning comes from wanting to meet what the soul journey has got in store for you. You see what I mean? And what's your work? Because you're going to change your work as well.
I hope so. I don't hate it, but it's not something that's satisfying to me on any deep levels. So I'm in the transportation industry right now. So this, I've only been there for a year after being a journeyman cook for a long, long time. Eh?
Well, you know, it's funny because you're going to wake something up, and over the next year, year and a half, you're going to reroute everything about yourself, including your job, and you're going to find a much deeper spiritual commitment in yourself than you've ever had before, and that's going to make you feel more alive. And this woman that I see you hooking up with is actually going through a huge change herself, so you're not ready to meet, you know what I'm saying? But it's
right.
Almost like you know she's coming and you really want that. And I'm saying, well, when you really want that, you can do a number of things. You can connect with your higher self and then have your higher self talk to her higher self over and over again, and you'll learn more and more about her. In the meantime, you're brushing up inside to find out more of your own gifts and how to go forward and become more of who you are, to embody who you are. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
And the root to that, as you probably know, is meditation and self-awareness and Somebody accused me of being self-absorbed one time, and I chuckled and said, yeah, you're right, because I don't know how else to learn about myself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And when you meditate and so on, it literally will blow away certain things that are blocking your self-awareness. You're growing up real fast over the next year and a half. Woo!
Is it? I've been going through quite a large Kundalini awakening in the last 3-4 months. Is that
Excellent.
Kind of all part of the process as well?
Oh, you betcha. You really. And your light, I mean, you've got a beautiful spiritual light, you know. And you know that the spiritual path is not necessarily easy. Sometimes it hurts because you get these drives and pushes and you have to do the work, you know. And the work is from the subconscious and the superconscious and the integration of it all. And you know all that. You're on track, but you're going to make some huge flips over the next year and a half.
Yeah, so the thing with pursuing a relationship is I have some certain friends saying that, you know, you have to be assertive and, you know, start computer dating, for instance, as an example. But my feelings are that it shouldn't be anything that I have to force. It'll just happen naturally.
You know what? I don't think if you wanted to avoid this person coming in, you can't. It's one of those things. When it's, what I call it, is cellularly designed, when it's designed for these two souls to connect and really forge a higher synergy, you can't avoid her, you know? So I wouldn't worry too much about doing it the way they say, because I don't think you're very normal. You're a man who's going to go through a huge, huge shift, and a lot of people aren't going to want to experience that. You do. Does that make sense?
Because I'm a glutton.
No, because you want to be self-realized. I'm not going to let you get away with being glib about it, because it's really important. It's going to make you a shining light when you're older.
Sometimes I've thought that I almost become self-obsessed with trying to improve myself, and so I do try to take the time to be satisfied for who I am in the moment, but there's always that obsession with wanting to improve myself, realize more of the bigger picture. So you don't believe that that's necessarily the wrong way to go?
No, I think that a lot of us on the path are like that. But if you looked at Eckhart Tolle's stuff, for example, we use him as an example, he would say, just know that you're like that, look at it, say, okay, it's okay to be like that. You'll calm it down. Okay? It's just a drive in you, right?
Okay.
And do you go to a church or something? Do you go to a group or a class?
I have. I'm quite fine with being by myself, being alone a lot of the time. I've been having the urge to go out and experience more groups and try to get the group energy. So I'm kind of dwelling into a new group lately.
I want that for you, because you need to shoot the breeze with people who are also like that, is what you need. A little bit of that.
You mean more on the spiritual side?
Yeah, people who talk about, you know, my favorite people as friends are the ones who talk about themselves, self-referral, like, wow, I was really controlling and I'm learning to blah, 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 and they move it. They move it with you. They'll meditate with you. They'll play with you, you know? Then you can laugh and be goofy while you're doing it sometimes, but I think you're ready for that.
Sometimes it's difficult for me to forge new friendships or to get that really deep connection and to get the interaction between, you know, between myself and another person. And
I'm seeing a study group coming up, and in that you'll make it easier, because you're going to be talking with people who are intensely connected with the same thing, you know.
Okay, cool.
And you know
as far
what?
As what?
I want you to laugh about it.
Mm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, I know. I need to laugh more.
You sure do. We all do, huh?
But lately, with the holiday stress and everything, and it's it can be difficult to look on the lighter side and the brighter side of things, you know.
And that's why being conscious about, for example, the now, to drop into the now, it's amazing how many things don't really grab your gut anymore. It'll start to fade. And the other thing is to stay neutral when the people, because you've got people around you that are kind of going through trauma. Just see if you can practice staying neutral. It's a meditation. That doesn't mean you don't help. Your son's going to push you really hard over the next little while.
Hopefully not through a major crisis. You know.
I think it's more of a willfulness, but it's also a deep... He's very sensitive,
mm-hmm.
and he has some very interesting qualities, very creative, sensitive, changing inward and so on, and he just pushes your buttons. He seems to know you. He's kind of your alter ego or something.
Well, I think for the last few years, we sort of grow spiritually together.
Yeah,
agree with that. But, so it's always interesting. Sorry about that.
Oh, it's okay.
I've noticed that we sort of piggyback our energies, and I learned just as much off of him, and he's only 12 years old. Even the last few years, I because he's quite a wise soul, so I've used him as a learning mechanism as well as him using me as a learning mechanism.
Yeah, and he's an old soul.
Yes.
He's very old. So, and I have to hang up just in case anybody else is going to call, and I hope they will, but I've really enjoyed your call. You're quite a wonderful man, and you're just emerging to yourself. And this is the time of year for it. It's rebirth season, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels good. Last couple of days, it felt like I have had a resurgence of some sort. So.
Yeah, I'm all for that for you. When's your birthday?
It's on Halloween, October 31st.
Yeah.
I'm a Halloween boy.
Oh, you are, eh? Have you got a mask on?
No, I take it off.
Good for you. That's the name of the game, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
I wish you the very best season, and I know that you have, it's like an upward climb over the next year and a half, but it's an exciting one, and you're doing the right thing.
All right. Thanks so much, and you have yourself a really good holidays.
And you too. Thanks for calling from Saskatchewan.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. So that was interesting because he's facing a lot of the things a lot of us are. This man is opening up. It isn't always like, you know, you hear these stories about somebody gets whacked over the head with a 2x4 and becomes enlightened. A lot of us didn't do that. A lot of us had to take the pickaxe and chip away at our big cliffs and mountains of old information and sort of, sometimes it's painful and sometimes it's very easy, and sometimes we're really activated by people around us. Sometimes we're stymied by people around us. But he's waking up beautifully, and I know a lot of you are, actually. I was talking about being in the now moment is a great way to stop fighting. For example, he was questioning whether to date or not and why the yearning. Many times as we move forward in our soul's journey, we have these opposite poles. One is, I just want to be with somebody. Another one is, I just want to understand who I am. One is, you know, that's a pretty normal thing. But to stop and center and be in the now is a great way to find a way to, how I see the soul's journey is it's like this light that's spiraling up through the middle of our life or through the middle of ourselves as vehicles of light. And when you drop into the now, You feel that light pick up speed and push on through. It's really a wonderful way to bring ourselves forward. Another one that I mentioned while we were in the structure is really observing yourself. The power of the observer is so shocking. I was listening to Eckhart Tolle's YouTubes, which I said earlier in the show, and where he was talking about being conscious of your mind, for example, being all over the place and full of ideas and it wouldn't settle down. And he said, look at it and then say, okay, that's the way my mind is. It's full of ideas. It won't settle down. And he was chuckling. And it's like, I feel that way if I'm afraid or if you're afraid. We look at it. We see where the fear is and we just look at it. And things just dissipate when you do that. The power of the observer is tremendous as a healing force. and we were talking about resistances, and we have resistances for a number of reasons, but those resistances, I know people that have, okay, so let's see, I'm jumping around. With the resistances, you can feel like body pain, you can feel sore legs, you can feel headaches and so on. And if you really understand the quality of resistance and you observe it, the power of the observer that we all heard about in the Bleep and other famous teachings these days, you'll notice that it melts things. Things start to move around and you start to feel the healing capacity. I've seen that a number of times in myself and other people when it's not just resistances, but say you feel like you're getting the flu or you feel like you're getting a cold or you've got some kind of pain or headache or something, and you just sit and really observe it and really observe it. I find over and over again that I can melt. I'm not promising I can always do this because there's other underlying conditions going on, aren't there, that I'm not conscious about. This is all talking about being conscious of what's going on. And where we're not conscious, we can sabotage ourselves. So say we're trying to look at or observe some kind of viral situation running through the body. You can actually turn and look at it inside of yourself and blow it away. You can actually see that there's no trace of it left. Sometimes it's really quite, you know, it's kind of learning how to create miracles. And I suppose miracle is a word that is to be applied to anything we can't really understand. But my way of combining all these things that I'm talking about is saying that the observer kind of melts the resistance. And maybe it's the resistance that creates the flu or the cold or whatever. You know, it's the tension that comes from the resistance that creates the welcoming to the viral situation. I don't know. I just know that these things work. So how are you facing the holidays? Oh, and I was going on and on about my healing entities and aliens. I'd love to get some feedback from any of you about that. The other thing I mentioned last week or the week before is there's a being called Aravinda, and I've done some meditational study with him. He went off to the Himalayas to meet some of his own lineage of ascended beings. And these beings, he claims, live to be like 4,500 years old, and they're in a very hidden area, the Himalayas. They're not fully available for public. But he almost lost his life following his intuition, absolutely following his intuition, to get to see them. He was being prompted by, like Adrian De Vere's talking about, channeling these aliens and getting this information. Aravinda was doing inner listening and getting intuitive hits from beings who are of his cellular lineage. And he was following their map into hidden territories in the Himalayas. And he found, magically, he would find a guide, somebody that he had known in another life that he recognized and so on. He talks also about how It is an aspect of the power of now, but he talks about how they live for a long, long, long time because they don't attach to, or as Eckhart Tolle talks about, the pain body. These beings don't attach to what happens. They drop back in their center, and they just release it, and they find a great deal of joy in the process of life, but they do not engage in what, attachments? How many times do we attach to things? And they don't make, I guess it's that they become conscious about the authentic stream of their existence as opposed to the details of what's going on out there. They don't live the tabloid mentality that some of us live at times. Very interesting to see these different approaches, but his, Aravinda's approach is similar and spoken differently, which is he teaches us to go in meditation and drop into the center and step away from our adherence to those reactions that are going on around us. Anyway, here it is. We're coming out of a 24,000-year cycle in, I guess, I'm not really sure. I think it's in the planet. It's in the universe. It's the way the planets have been forming. I don't even know exactly what it is. I know it's bigger than the Earth. It's a huge universal thing where we've been in some kind of phase for 24,000 years. And I believe it's very difficult for people, for societies, to maintain the sameness when there's that much universal influence that's changing. The momentum for that change has been disrupting our consciousness and our society for a couple of years now, or maybe even 5 years. Predictions that come through this, plus other astrological or cycles in the universe, are that we are going to have a breakdown in economics, we're going to have a breakdown in the way our civilization concocts security and so on, and that is indeed happening. And in the middle of it, here we are coming into Christmas and New Year's, and we're headed toward 2012, which we know is supposed to be some kind of consciousness change time. And remaining conscious during these times, remaining awake to the fact that your deep inner is the aspect of your nature that has never been born and never dies, really, has been through lifetime after lifetime in order to become, what, awake and conscious and self-empowered. Dropping into consciousness at this time with all the chaos going on and the breakdown of our systems and so on is a centering tool that allows our authentic power to flush up and actually fuel our thinking and our creativity. And over we're hearing, and it's driven also and fueled by love, not by fear. So one of the ways of becoming very, very conscious and really empowered these days is to drop inside and see whether you're actually living in fear and resistance, or if you're living in love. And that's something that you can do something about. So here it is, Hark, it's Harold talking about love, and we're going to have gifts and family and so on over this period of the year, and I know that you're all doing that too. So let's make a commitment here to be conscious about all that, that you're sharing with your real self. You're being self-absorbed enough to know when you're really loving, when you're in fear, when your resistance is holding you back, when you're releasing your resistance. And wow, we're changing the world when we do that, aren't we? So I hope that some of you can stay tuned to our paradigm shifter, who is Robert Friedman, who wrote Milton's Secret. He wrote it in cahoots with Eckhart Tolle. Eckhart Tolle apparently wanted to get to children and consciousness, because a lot of us keep saying, well, how can we keep our children awake and dropping into themselves and being really themselves and not being swayed or created by mass marketing and so on? How can we get them to be conscious and to not develop so much reactiveness, especially after all these years of us working on it ourselves? And this book is really a beautiful book for that. There's a number of books out there. One is by Neil Donald Walsh. I think it's called The Little Angel and the Sun or something. It's very good, but this one is a simpler book and really talks about addressing and calling up and feeling the power of the light within when you're a little one. And if you can grow up with that, holy mackerel. So it's a really interesting discussion with him, and he'll talk a bit about what it's like to be a publisher these days and how a lot of the consciousness stuff is now mainstream. So I hope that you'll have time to listen to that. And also, I will be on Thursday night with Jackie Salvitti, ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness, talking about consciousness. That's a very invigorating show where she really takes you through personal work, releasing things that block us collectively, like shame. And she's a student of Adrienne DeVere and does some amazing healing work herself. Her team, channeled beings, have let me interview them. So sometimes we have some pretty interesting explorations in their consciousness, where they come from and what it is they do. I really enjoy that part as well. So I will be back on after Christmas on Tuesday here on Radio. It suddenly occurred to me, I don't know if we're going to be on Thursday night. I haven't found out from Jackie. It'll either be a pre-record or I'll see you Thursday night, which is actually Christmas night, on Jackie's show at 8 o'clock on Thursday night. Otherwise, I'll see you on Radiance by Design on the 30th of December, and I don't know what we're going to talk about. Maybe we'll talk about New Year's. Maybe we'll talk about making commitments. Maybe we'll talk about what happened with you over the holiday season and what it is you'd like to inspire into the rest of your lives. And I would like to say for all of us, for Bob and I, who do this show regularly, for Dawn and for Seth and all those, I'd like to say a very, very happy season, and that let's pass on as much love as we can and send it rippling around the world so that we all feel the advancement of our consciousness all over the world, preparing for, what, an evolution of our species at the end of this great, long cycle. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, if you'd like a session with me, email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, or phone me at 510-595-5564. That's veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. There's no H in Entwistle. Or call me at 510-595-5564. Thank you so much for listening, and I send all of you many blessings.